Do you read those words at the top and kind of think, that's my life sometimes? Not every week, not every day, but these things are part and parcel of what it means to be a person, right? A human being living in a fallen world. We go through times of worry when we're worrying about what's going to happen to us or our friends or our family or our job or whatever it might be, our health. We go through times of frustration when we want to see things happen, but we just can't seem to, doesn't seem to come about. We go through times when we're afraid. We're all afraid of different things on different kinds of levels. But we go through times of fear. We go through times when we're impatient. That's why we have microwaves. Otherwise, we'd never have invented them. We're impatient. We want something quick, and it doesn't come quick enough for us. And times of just stress. That's all of it together, isn't it? When nothing seems to be going right. Well, today, we're going to solve all of those things and get them out of our lives, okay? You ready for that? If only. But we are going to see something of the answer, I think. And as I, where's my paint behind me? As I started to prepare this talk, I had a few things going on in my head, and I settled on this one. And I began to realize just how appropriate the title for this talk is for a Learning Together service. So are you ready for this? This is the title of how we're going to deal with all these things at the top. One way, not the only way, not the be-all and end-all of everything. But this is it. You ready? B. Well done. You ready for this? Isn't that the perfect title for Learning Together? Be still. Be still and listen. But it's not just about being still and sitting in your seats. I went through all of the places in the Bible where it talks about being still, where God says to us, be still. Now, how many of us struggle sometimes with being still? Anyone else? Anyone else a little bit hyperactive? All the kids are putting their hands straight up. Right, all the kids. And I'm not just talking about sitting on the sofa, okay? I'm not just talking about sitting in the same place for half an hour. Some of us might be quite good at that, watch too much telly, etc. But I'm talking about being still, at peace, at rest. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I can sit still in the same place. And the big thing is that my mind is racing round. And I can't stop. I can sit still on the sofa, but my mind just keeps going round and round and round and keeps on turning over things and worrying about things. And all this stuff at the top is not just outward, is it? It's all inward. It's in our minds, in our hearts. And so I'm just going to read for us today five places where the Bible says, be still, or words very, very similar to that. And in all of those places, one of these characteristics, and they all weave together. They're all overlapping into each other. But all of them deal with one or more of these aspects of our life, these struggles we have in our life. So be still. God says to us, be still. And I'm certain that we struggle with that sometimes, don't we? We struggle to be still. We struggle not to be constantly active, constantly running around, constantly trying to fix things, constantly trying to make things better. That's what we're wired to do as human beings, isn't it? We've got to solve things or we give up. And neither is being still giving up. Okay, that's not what it is either. Sometimes we run around trying to fix everything. Sometimes we just give up, can't be bothered. And being still isn't that. Being still is about a place in our hearts, in our minds, where we're trusting who God is and what he can do for us. So let's look at these things. Number one is worry. And it's Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 39. Now, this is slightly different to the other ones. This is not Jesus speaking to us necessarily, but this is Jesus speaking to a storm. You know the story, but let's read it. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, that's Jesus, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. What a powerful story that is. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there? Remember, we've talked a few weeks ago in here about a storm and the disciples being in a boat and Peter walking on the water. And this was similar to that. These are some of them trained fish people who were used to going out in boats every day of their lives. They knew what it was to be in a storm. And you could say, you could talk about fear when you talk about this passage. But what's going on with these men sitting in the boat in the middle of a storm? They're worried what's going to happen to them, aren't they? They're worried what's about to take place. So the wind's blowing around them, the waves are smashing over the side of their boat, and they're worried. What's going to happen? Anyone get worried about anything? Joel does. What do you get worried about? You don't know. Ben does as well. Do you know what? I thought that was going to come out. I was just about to say you get worried when Man City are about to lose. Yeah. Very true. Right, we'll come to that later. What do we get worried about, Holly? Things in the future. Does any of you kids get worried about going to school when you've got something big to do the next day? Maybe some kind of big project you've got a hand in. Worried? Would you ever get worried that your friends in school are going to start excluding you and not allowing you into their game? Do you ever get worried about that? Because adults get worried about that. We get worried about what people think about them. How many of us older people get worried about just general life things, health, money? Where's the money going to come from for what I need? My job, am I secure in it, or is it just going to disappear one day? We get worried about our families, don't we? And what's going to happen? We get worried about our kids. Kids, that is the truth. We do worry about you sometimes. We get worried a lot. And sometimes that can turn into a storm. And so, in a way, this story is a picture for us, isn't it? How many of us can identify with the fact that sometimes you have a storm going on? And not just outwardly, not just in your life, but in your head as well. Does anyone else identify with that? Because I do. Sometimes things just blowing around and I can't really see the light from the dark, the wood from the trees, all of that kind of thing. I just can't see where I'm going and what's happening. And the really good news today is that Jesus has a way of calming that storm, of speaking to that storm and stilling it. And we've got to be careful here, because what we don't mean is that Jesus is going to calm all of the storms in our life so there's nothing to worry about. Okay, he doesn't take away all health concerns you could possibly have. He doesn't take away the possibility of losing your job. It isn't when you're a Christian, you never lose your job. Christians do lose their jobs. Christians do get sick. Christians do go through tough times. It isn't that God is just going to say, be still to every struggle in your life. Kids, there will be times when you don't want to go into school the next day because of whatever might happen, whatever your friends might say to you, whatever your teacher might do, because you haven't done your homework or whatever. There will be times like that. But the truth is that Jesus is able to speak to the storm. And he's able to give us... Shush. He's able to give us this. He's able to give us peace. He's able to give us that place of peace. And it would have been remarkable, wouldn't it, to be in that boat and to one moment have the winds rushing around you and the waves smashing over the side, and Jesus just stands up and speaks, whoosh, quiet. You ever experienced something like that? For us, it's when the kids go to bed. Noise, 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 snoring, done. Phew. But that would have been, it would have been dramatic, wouldn't it? It would have been amazing feeling, experience. I've kind of experienced it the other way around. We were in the Czech Republic once, and it was all calm, beautiful summer's day, and suddenly this storm whipped up, and I, no joke, and it was just literally, the wind just seemed to be traveling along and just whoosh, straight into the place we were staying, and it was immediate, and it would have been the opposite of that. The storm is raging all around them, and suddenly it's quiet. And the good news today, because of some of the other things that we're going to talk about, is that Jesus is able to speak to your storm, and not to take it away necessarily, not to necessarily calm the circumstances and the situation you're in, but to calm the storm in your mind, to help you think clearly, to help you see clearly, to help you be at peace. So we don't need to worry. He says to the storm, be still. Next one. Again, really familiar words that you all know. And I've talked about this in terms of stress. Anyone else feel stressed this morning? Sunday morning, sometimes the worst stress, aren't they? Trying to get ready for church. Stress. Let me read to you these famous words that kind of speak into this whole area of being stressed and out of control and not knowing where life's taking you. Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. Steve's come to help me. Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2 say this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside what kind of waters? Still waters. He restores my soul. Famous words, but because they're so famous, do you think we sometimes lose the impact of that? This is what the Good Shepherd, and that's something important to mention actually as we go through this, because I've realized that this whole talk is all about what God wants to do for his people. So can everyone up and down this street that we're on call Jesus their shepherd? Well, no, they can't, can they? So all of these blessings, all the things that we're talking about, are for those who can call Jesus their shepherd. And that is an important question. Hopefully most of us here in this room can today. But whether you or me can call Jesus our shepherd, if we can, and we know he's the good shepherd, this is what he wants to do for you when you're stressed, when you feel like there's no way forward, when you can't see the wood from the trees. He wants you to lie down in green pastures. He will lead you to still waters if you'll let him. He'll take you to that place of this. He'll take you to a place of rest because he is the good shepherd. He'll take you to a place where your soul, the inside of you, who you are, that feels a bit damaged, that feels a bit messed about, knocked about, can be restored back to being whole, back to being what it should be. The good shepherd wants to lead us, if we'll let him, to green pastures, still waters, to places of quietness and rest, not necessarily, again, the stuff around us, but inside what's going on in our minds and our hearts. So those two are really closely related, aren't they? Worry, stress. God wants to give us peace. He wants to give us rest. And he says to do that, be still, be still. Next one, fear. These are great verses, these are. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, and then verses 13 and 14. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. Yeah, you remember what's going on there? God's just rescuing his people from Egypt in the book of Exodus. They've been slaves for going on 400 years, oppressed by Pharaoh, oppressed by a horrible king. And God came down to rescue them, and he sends the 10 plagues, and Pharaoh says no to them going loads of times, and then eventually says yes, but then Pharaoh changes his mind, doesn't he? And as they're walking away from slavery, he begins to chase after them. And so the people are out in the desert, they're walking away from Egypt, and they lift up their eyes, and the Egyptians are coming after them. Maybe they can see a cloud of dust or whatever it is, but they can see the Egyptian armies riding out to catch them and to take them back again. And quite rightly, they were afraid, weren't they? They were terrified. We don't want to go back there. How many of us feel afraid sometimes? How many of us get fearful? Again, it is all tied together, isn't it? Worry, stress, fear. What's going to happen to me tomorrow? What's going to happen to my life situation? Do you have really specific situations sometimes that you just get terrified? I do. Sometimes when I have to stand up and preach, I get terrified, and that's quite a little thing, but, and there's far more serious things than that. But all of us go through day-to-day times when we get scared. We get afraid of what's going to happen. Well, this is what happens. This is what God says, or Moses says to the people. Verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm," the ESV says. Some translations say, "Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." From fear, and one of the songs we sang today is completely applicable to this, fear to this one. Bet you can't get this straight away. Prosecution. Close. The first three letters were right. Protection. God says to his people, "Stand still and see what I'm going to do for you. Stand still and see that I won't let your enemies triumph over you. Stand still and see that I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to take you away from your enemies who are coming after you." And this is important to recognize, isn't it? Because did the Israelites just have to stand still? No. They didn't just have to stand still. If they just stood still, where would they be right now? Still on the other side of the Red Sea, wouldn't they? And they'd have been taken captive, etc. So they didn't just have to stand still. But initially, God says, "Stand still and see what I'm going to do for you." And then, what did they have to do? Well, they had to do a simple thing, and this is the way it works. God does most of the work for us. He's the one who wins the victory for us. Ultimately, he's the one it all depends on. And then what did they have to do? Well, put one foot in front of the other and walk through these walls of water, which must have been a little bit nerve-wracking, do you think? You've got these walls of water on either side. Any second, could they crash in on you? Well, it took faith, didn't it? But they had to walk forward. So what we're not saying here is God fights all your battles. You just need to sit down and do nothing. But he does say to them, "Be still and see what I'm going to do." When you get worried, when you get panicky, what do you tend to try and do? You tend to try and do stuff to work things out, don't you? To try and fix it, to try and get rid of your fear, to try and rationalize it or figure out what you're going to do that's going to make sure everything's going to be okay. And can you ever do that? No, it never works, does it? We should learn that lesson. No matter how much you think through a problem that you have that's making you afraid, you never solve it. You never do. And God says, "Stand still and see what I'm going to do." Because as we've sung, the God of angel armies wants to fight your battles for you. He wants to fight your battles with you. He wants and he will protect you from anything that will come against you. So be still and see what God is going to do. Next one, impatience. Impatience. Again, anyone else get impatient? It's all the kids who are honest and all the grown-ups who are like, "I never get impatient." We all get impatient, don't we? How many of you, if you thought long enough, and it might not take very long at all, can think of something that you're wanting to happen in your life that should have happened last year? Right? Again, the kids' hands are straight up. I don't know what all this stuff is. But I reckon all of us could think of something. I wanted it to happen last year. I wanted it to happen 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe, for some things. But we get impatient, don't we? Things never happen as quick as we want them to happen. Things never go as fast as we want them to go. And these verses are great for this. Psalm 37, verses 7 and 9. Again, what does impatience do to you? You see the connection in all of these things. But when you're impatient, are you very good at sitting still and just waiting? Is anyone good at that? I don't want to... Karen is, right, yeah. Whatever you say. None of us are that good at it, are we? How many of you, when you're in a waiting room, have to like stand up and pace around? When you're on a platform, you have to get up and move. You can't just sit there, because you're like, when's it coming? When's it going to happen? When am I going to get into this? And that's what it does to us. We can't be still. We can't rest. Well, Psalm 37, verse 7 says this. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse 9, for those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. From impatience to hope. Does God fulfill his promises? Every time. Does God do what he said he's going to do? He never tells a lie, does he? He never lets us down. If he's promised you something, he will come through on it. So, be still. Be still. Earlier in the psalm, it talks about not fretting. Don't fret. How many of us are fretters? I want it to happen now. When's it going to happen? When's it coming? I kept on praying and nothing's going on. Nothing's even, in fact, it's getting further away. You ever feel like that? It gets further away rather than closer. Be still. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. For those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Again, does this mean we sit back and do nothing? Of course, that's twisting this and making it something it isn't. But be still. Be still. Last thing, frustration. Frustration. Frustration comes, doesn't it? Again, similar thing, but when we're trying to accomplish something and we can't see it happen, when we're trying to see something take place and we just can't seem to work it out, frustration has a lot to do with, I'm trying to do this. It's a blocked goal, is what people will say. It's something you're aiming for and you can't quite get there. Psalm 46, verse 10. And this is the verse that kind of led me to talk about this. He says, God says, Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. And what does God say? You may be frustrated right now. Things that you want might not be taking place right now. But be still. Be quiet. Know that I'm God. And know that one day, got it? Ha. Clever clogs. One day we will have the victory. God says, I will be exalted among the nations. Hopefully is our biggest goal, isn't it? Maybe that's the biggest area of our frustration. Do you not just want this church to grow more than it is? Do you not just want more people to come to know Jesus? Do you not just want family, friends, people in our town, in our communities, to come to realize? And you can't make it happen, can you? Anyone else get frustrated by that? No matter how much you talk to someone, explain everything to them, and give all the perfect arguments, you just can't make it happen. And God says, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. And that's what this is all about, isn't it? So all this, like I said, all interconnected. Our lives are full of all these top things: worry, frustration, fear, impatience, stress, a number of other things I'm sure we could mention that are negative. And one of the things that God wants us to do is to take a step back from all of that. And it's all about seeing who he is, isn't it? It's all about seeing who he is in the light of our problems and our difficulties and our worries and our frustrations. It's all about seeing that he reigns over all of it, seeing that he knows what he's doing and he can accomplish what he needs to accomplish. He holds your life in the palm of his hands, doesn't he? He knows exactly what the plans are that he has for you, the good works that he's prepared beforehand. And so, are you going to accomplish anything by worrying, stressing out, getting frustrated, trying to fix things? Are you going to accomplish anything by doing that stuff? No. And so the Bible says, and like I said, this is one area, this is one thing, there's more to say. The Bible says, be still. Be still and know this as we finish. He is. True. Be still and know, above everything, over it all, God is in control. And all, this is so simple, isn't it? But is it hard to do? It is hard to do. Because we stress and we worry and we fret and we plan and we try and make everything better and we try and fix everything, we try and sort everything out. And sometimes God just wants you to sit down, take a deep breath and say, God, I can't fix it. But thank you that you're in control. Thank you that you know what you're doing. It doesn't take away the necessity for us to be serving Jesus in big ways and going out there and doing stuff for the kingdom. And as Paul said, he beat his body into submission. He went for it with everything he had, with all of his might. But in that context, sometimes you just need to sit down, be still, and say, God, you're in control. And the more we do that, the more we're able to do that, the more we're able to have those moments of seeing the bigger picture, of seeing who God is and how that relates to everything that's in front of us, I think it's pretty certain to say we'll be better as we try and serve, as we try and give ourselves to God and to each other. We'll be better servants of the God of angel armies. So, hopefully that helps a little today. Hopefully that will cause us to think sometimes. Kids, next time you get worried about what's going to happen in school, do you know you can sit down and say, God, you're in control. You can help. He can help you, can't he? Can God help you in school tomorrow? Not tomorrow, it's after. Next week. Can he help you? Yes, he can. Next time we're worried about a certain area of our lives, just stop, be still, say, God, you're in control of this. Me worrying about this isn't doing anything about it. Next time you're frustrated and you're like, I just want to go out there and fix it, be still. You going out there and trying to fix it isn't going to help, is it? When God leads you to do something, do it with all your might. But we can't fix it, so be still. Let's pray. As we finish, let's pray. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you're the God of all creation, and yet you love us intimately as your children. Thank you that no matter how sinful we may have been, no matter how far from you we may get, you love us with an everlasting love, a love that never gives up, a love that sent your Son to the cross, a love that will always give us what we need. And Lord, we pray today that you'd forgive us for the times when we forget who you are, when we forget how powerful, how great, how good, and how loving you are. And we fret and we try and fix things on our own terms. And I just pray, Lord, today that all of us would just have this greater vision of how good you are, how great you are, and the fact that you're in control of life, of everything that we go through. Help us take that seat sometimes. Take that deep breath and say, Lord, we trust you. You're in control. You know what you're doing. Lord, I just pray that we'd something of what we've talked about this morning would benefit all of us now. All right, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.